The following program may contain views, ideas, and opinions that have been produced by the hosts and their guests and are not reflective of Quixie 98.3 or SkyTower Communications. For questions, comments, and concerns, email us at news@wqxe.com.
Good morning and welcome to Community Forum. I'm Zach Epperson. This past week, the No Star of November Challenge wrapped up in Hardin County, with all donations and proceeds going directly to Warm Blessings. Warm Blessings, a community organization, has seen the need for their services grow throughout the duration of COVID-19. So, this morning, we have my conversation with Don Cash, Warm Blessings Executive Director, and we talk about the organization's continued work during COVID-19, as well as the outpouring of support they experienced during No Star of November.
Thank you so much for joining us, and we're here today to talk about Warm Blessings. And obviously, you all just wrapped up No Star of November this past week. Great event. But first, we're going to start off with a little bit of background information for our listeners who might not know. So to explain to our listeners, what exactly is Warm Blessings?
Warm Blessings is a community kitchen. We currently have three programs. We have what we call the community meals that we serve Monday through Friday. We also have senior delivery meals, and we do those 2 days a week in Elizabethtown, and we just expanded with another partner to Radcliffe, and we do those 1 day a week and hope to expand those to 2 days a week starting the first of the year. And then, of course, we have day shelter. It's a warming shelter that started on Tuesday, December the 1st, and that runs through the end of February.
Right, and so and the big thing about Warm Blessings, too, is that you all are really volunteer-driven there, right?
We are very volunteer-driven. I am the only full-time employee. We just added a fourth part-time member to our team to round out day shelter, to get ready for that on the weekends, so that we have staff on site every time we're open. So there is always a staff member there, but the rest are volunteers. And we just had a huge volunteer training for day shelter in November. Actually, we had two. And we have over 45 volunteers trained to do day shelter. And then our cooks are all volunteers. We have cooking teams every day of the week that are about 3 to 4 people on that team, and they cook the meals. And then in the evenings, we have families come in. This is a lot of fun. We have families come in that work in the kitchen that prepare the cartons of food for people to go. And it's always great. Like last night, we had Jen Smith's family in, and they have 4 children, ranging in ages from, I think, 5 to about 13 or 14. And it's really neat to see families working in the kitchen together to put those meals together.
That's awesome. I know my family did it several years ago, and it's such a rewarding experience. And it's just great to get out there and to help those other people in the community.
Yeah, we make it fun, and we are also providing a service. So just letting people know that there's a good way to help their neighbors.
Absolutely. So you mentioned Warm Blessings Community Kitchen. So how exactly does Warm Blessings usually go about securing food for their operations?
Well, our biggest provider, of course, is our partnership with Feeding America, and we are able to receive free USDA food through Feeding America and then also through their retail food purchase program, which is way, way less expensive than, say, going to Kroger or Sam's or things like that. And what we're not able to purchase through Feeding America, then we would normally purchase in bulk through, you know, Sam's or Gordon's Food Service. But what has happened over the past year, and what has also happened in the past, is there have been food drives by the community that are held that keep our costs down tremendously. This event that we just had last night, No Star of November, which was a food drive that went through the month of November, and then also we worked with the Boy Scouts and Hardin County Honda. So we had 2 really large food drives, and we had so much food come in, Zach, that we have enough to sustain us other than perishables through next year. We had so much food come in that we had to get donated space to store that food. And so there is, across the street from us, David Pepper owns a building that used to be the Lee's Chicken. And it's, he's not using that for anything right now. And so he and a gentleman named Jack Rose have graciously helped us to put up shelves, and that entire building is full of food. So we've had volunteers over there sorting through things and placing them up on the shelves. And so we have enough food probably for the next year. Which
That's incredible.
Yes.
I wanted to get back, and I want to revisit No Star for November here in a few minutes. But, you know, you all, along with other organizations and food pantries, you've seen an increase in the need in those who are needing your services in the community. How much has that grown this year? I know this is you're getting ready to celebrate your first year with Warren Blessings as executive director. But, you know, in that time since you began and until now, how much has that grown?
I will tell you that when COVID hit, you know, we had to change the way we were serving. We used to have a dining room, which led to the term community kitchen, where we serve anyone who walks to our doors, who walks through our doors or to our doors. We serve senior citizens, people, just people in need. It's not, I think people generally think that we only serve the homeless. And we are serving, community members and our neighbors who may need to stretch their food dollars. That's in everyday times. Excuse me. That's in normal times. But when COVID hit in March, what we saw is when there were, you know, business-wide shutdowns and people were being laid off and things, the unemployment wasn't coming in as quickly. We had to kind of switch the way we were serving people. And also we didn't have volunteers to do the cooking because of, you know, being shut down for COVID. And so what we switched to was actually preparing huge bags for families for a week. And we would give them those bags. And during the month of May, we served over 6,000 meals during the month of May. Our typical month is around 1,500. That's just, you know, just on an average month. And it was up to 6,000 in May. Well, following that, people's unemployment started coming in and people were able to do their shopping. You know, groceries weren't so scarce, like meat and things like that. So things started to round back out again and trend back down. Then we had another spike probably in the past 2 months. I know in the month, I don't have my totals in for November yet, but in the month of October, we served 2,100 meals. And that was just carry out to go meals at the front door and then our senior delivery meals. So we've seen a large increase in the need, and probably we feel like it's going to go at least through the winter. You know, with the shutdowns, with schools being taken down. And I know the school system is doing a really good job in providing the children with food. We haven't seen nearly as many families as we did at the start of this. These are mainly individuals that we're seeing now, people in the community. But the school system is doing a great job with providing the kids with foods for lunch and breakfast. But we kind of rounded out that dinner meal for them.
Absolutely. And so you're talking about, you know, how many people or how many families should say you all have seen since the beginning of the year when the pandemic really hit back in March. So at that time in March and in the months that followed, how would you describe the supply of your all's food or, you know, just your supplies in general? Are you well off, in need, critical from March to in the months that followed? How would you describe that?
I would say that the supply of food that came in met the demand because of the community. We would reach out via Facebook or, you know, we may do a quick spot with you or, you know, the paper and let the community know what our needs were. What is so incredible about Elizabethtown and so different from any place I've ever worked, because my history, you know, is in the Louisville and Southern Indiana community. What is so different is sometimes you don't even need to express the need. It seems like people just understand. You know, we would put out a Facebook post and say, this is, you know, we need pasta and or rice or things like that, and they would just come to the door. Over the summer, our fresh produce that came in was just incredible. I mean, we were able to provide people with fresh salads every day, green beans, cucumbers. I mean, and people would just bring those to our door. You know, we wouldn't get a phone call. We met new people daily bringing in all their excess produce. So that was really, really nice. And then again, I have to thank Feeding America because, with the shutdowns of the meat processing plants and things like that, large amounts of meat were not available through the grocery stores. So Feeding America was able to provide us with all of the meat that we needed and really all of the, shelf staples that we normally purchase from them throughout the year. They were great. So they were able to answer that need too. And I know they do a lot of work with the USDA and being able to bring in bulk food. And I think that that partnership had a lot to do with it.
So, now we'll get into it. So No Starve November, it was the third year of it. And this was your first year of it, I believe. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes.
So what was your expectation going into the event? Had the board members or any of the volunteers, have they told you what to expect, or what was your expectations going in?
One of my board members, Lynn Bauer, is a customer of one of the shops, one of the salons that puts this together. And she's the first one to kind of introduce me to that. So it's Andy's Barbershop, and Rob Thompson runs Andy's Barbershop, and then Georgia Greenwell from the Purple Rose. I sat down and had a meeting with the two of them, about a month and a half ago, to just fun people. I will tell you, I have really, really enjoyed working with these two people. They have a really nice, friendly, not so friendly rival going on with this event. if you take a look at our Facebook page, we did the reveal last night, and they are the ones who kind of think up what the loser has to do for the winner. And Rob has won the past 2 years. And this year, Queen Georgia pulled it out. I call her the queen because that's what we have to call her for the next year. That's one of the bets they had. So Rob had to actually crown Georgia with a tiara, and she sat in a throne, and she had her loyal subjects give her the pie, and Rob got the pie in the face this year, and it was so much fun. And they've been great all the way through. They've had raffles and events that were safe to attend, like at Impelizzeri's. I know they hosted an event right before Thanksgiving where people could bring in canned goods and get a free appetizer. So, things where people could kind of gather and celebrate what they were doing. And so, like I said, between the Boy Scouts and the two of them, they brought in enough food to completely take care of us for an entire year. It just absolutely incredible.
So that kind of leads into my next question I have for you. Like you said, it was a tremendous outpouring of support, over $10,000 in donations, and then just truckloads of food. Did you expect that? I know you said earlier, that E-Town's so much different than any other place you've been, that people just will come up to your door with stuff. So maybe were you kind of expecting that, or was it a little bit more?
I'm laughing because no, I had no idea. Of course, I'd never been through a holiday season here. I started in January. And this rivalry that the two of them have increases every year, and they change their goals. They up their goals every year. And I went in at the beginning and dropped off like eight of those really I call them small now compared to what the amount of food that they brought us, but I dropped off eight bins like you get at Home Depot. That didn't even touch it. I mean, they actually brought in, if I'm not mistaken, I believe there were six truckloads and trailers full of food. So again, that entire building is full. And we of course have space upstairs, but there's a weight limit. And so when I went to visit Georgia I guess it was a couple weeks ago, and I walked into the building and the entire side of her salon was full of food. I knew we were in for it. And so I had to come up with some alternative space to store all that. And it was just, you know, divine, I guess, intervention that there was the building across the street that Mr. Pepper allowed us to use. And it's, like I said, it's completely stocked with shelves and everything's been sorted. And Liz George, and who is our kitchen manager, and several volunteers have been working on that all weekend and throughout yesterday.
Absolutely. One of the final things I got for you, and you've touched on it multiple times, but you know, these donations, what do they mean for Warm Blessing? I mean, we talked about the food until, you know, next year, into next year. What does that do? Number one, I guess, kind of already said it, but for the supply of food, but also the donations as well. What are those going towards?
Well, even with No Starve November, that event raised $10,287, which is a huge amount. Those donations have, and even the donations that come in from the community, allow us to pay the operating expenses, which is, you know, the lights, the water, some of the services we have to have, like, you know, waste control and pest control and things like that. So the operating expenses have been covered by the community. Again, that's why we call it a community kitchen. I mean, the community is who helps us run the place that we have there. And, you know, our expenses fluctuate depending upon how many people are in that building. And so with day shelter coming up, of course, those expenses are going to go up, and we'll be able to use those donations to just pay the operating cost. Like I said, we have expanded staff. And that opportunity has come through several grants that we've received from United Way. Has helped us pay for a part-time staff member who coordinates all the volunteers and training for those volunteers. All of our kitchen staff have to be PIC certified, which is person in charge, I believe is what it's called, through the health department. And that's $85 a person. You know, because we're held to the same standards as a restaurant. And so the people who prepare that food have to have that training. And the United Way grant has allowed us to do that and pay for volunteer training. So like I said, we had two big days back in November where we had large amounts of people come in for training. But, you know, like I said, the community donations are what keep our doors open and keep us running.
Absolutely. Last thing I have for you is just kind of our final thoughts. The community, like you said, unlike anything you've seen, just the outpouring of giving, the support. What is your, what kind of message do you have for the community? Well, you know, what would you like to say to the community after, you know, the wrap up of this event, but also as the year comes to a close?
I think, you know, the most important thing for that Warm Blessings would like the community to know is, number one, thank you. I mean, thank you for your support, because without it, we couldn't open our doors. But more importantly, we want people to understand that, you know, even like with COVID, you know, our neighbors are in need, and we have some people who are chronically in need, and then we have some people who are temporarily in need. And what we want the community to know is what their dollars go towards is supporting their neighbors. These are people who live next door to you. Their kids go to school with your kids. You know, they may work for you. These are people who, you know, who are in need of our help to get through a week or a month or a day, you know, whatever it is. But they are our neighbors. They're our community too. And so that's why we've kind of shifted towards calling it a community kitchen instead of a soup kitchen, because we believe that not only are we completely supported by the community, but also we are serving the community.
Absolutely. Dawn Cash, Executive Director of Warm Blessings Community Kitchen, joining me this morning. Dawn, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you, Zach. You have a great day.
For a recap of today's forum or to listen to past forums, you can go to our website, WQXC.com, and click on the Media tab. For Quixie 98.3, I'm Zach Epperson.